people will never buy from you because they understand you. Okay? People would just buy from you because you understand them.
Welcome to our series entitled The IM Podcast, a podcast about innovation, business, and most importantly, people. In this series, we'll be talking to founders, executives, and various experts about their vision, challenges, best practices, and lessons learned throughout their journey. Let's get started. Hello and what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of IM Podcast for Startups. This is still Mariah, your host, and today we are going to uncover, you know, everyone loves sales, right? So uncover what your prospects aren't saying, learn how to increase your success rates, of course, and a lot more with NovaSea's behavioral intelligence platform. Here today is the CEO at NovaSea, Orr Bitterman. Hey, Orr.
Hey, hey. Happy to be here and thank you for having
me. We are so happy that you're here finally and thank you for your kindness. I mean, this has been postponed, but finally. How are you, Orr?
Doing good, doing even great, I can say. Things are going great in NovaSea, in the country, and I'm just happy to see you all smiley and happy over here. So appreciate to be here and appreciate you for having the time for inviting me.
Wow. I mean, is the behavioral intelligence already working with, I mean, the smiling and everything?
Okay. Always.
So, you know what? This week I had a call with CyberTech, like live event that's happening in Rome. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to attend that conference, how would you introduce yourself? Or
I think it's the basic one. It's, nice to meet you all. My name is Orr Bitterman, co-founder and CEO of NovaSea, the behavioral intelligence platform. What we're doing is simply analyzing people within virtual interactions to give salespeople the understanding of what the hell is happening on a sales call. So who's with you, who's against you, what they like and what they don't, based on speech to text to NLP, but also by analyzing the body language, the facial expressions, and the posture of each person inside of the conference call. And by this, we're just uncovering the prospect's underlying perceptions and helping you better understand what is going through and what's not.
Wow. So to those who are watching it, I mean, on YouTube, I just stood up because Orr said, you know, including the posture. So that's also very important in a sales call. And more, okay. So, well, who doesn't want to know more about sales? But first, where did this idea come about? I mean, come from? Whose problem is this?
I think it's a lot of people's problem, but it started, of course, with me. I'm coming with a background of sales and sales leadership roles for the past 12, almost 13 years now. I'm doing sales in B2C, B2B, enterprise, all over the place. And in my last role, I was account executive at Oracle, and COVID hits. And when COVID hit, I just felt like I'm losing my shit. Like I'm losing the ability to read the room, to understand, you know, that's the persons that I'm speaking with, to find out if what I'm saying is even relevant. Because as soon as I'm hitting the share screen button, poof, everyone is disappearing. They can read emails, they can play on the phone, they can do whatever they like, but I'm not seeing anything. And this is horrible. And I think that, you know, this feeling that everything that I've built so far is changing dramatically. For me, it was like a huge blow. And I just went complaining to a friend of mine and today my CTO, and we combining with our third co-founder, Yair, which is a psychologist with 13 years experience in product. And together we decided to solve this issue. It's my problem. It's an I problem. It's mine problem. And later on, we're just starting to find out this. I'm not alone. I'm talking with hundreds of sales leaders across the globe, and they're saying the same stuff. Right now, we're on two screens, right? We're on a full screen. I'm not sharing anything. Yeah. So if you try to look at me and without moving your eyes, just use your peripheral vision, try to look at yourself and tell me what you see. Let me help you.
Tell me what I see myself.
So if you're trying to do so, you can't see anything. Everything is blurry. Okay. And it's not because of you and it's not because of your skills. It's because of these platforms actually creating a tunnel vision that prevents us from seeing everything. So if we sat across a round table before and we can see everyone, and if someone moved in the chair when I talked about pricing, I can say like, Jeff, what are you thinking about it? Like, please share. I can't do it right now because if I'm having a call with, you know, it's B2B selling, I'm talking with, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 stakeholders. And right now someone is moving. I cannot just see like what was there. I can't see it. I'm missing a lot of information. And the data is with me. Of course, 93% of communication is actually nonverbal. Just 7% of the stuff that we're trying to convey is by the words themselves. The other 93% is actually the body language, 55%, and the tone of voice is 38%. Now, this is a full, understanding of communication. And by just using verbal, we're losing everything.
Wow. Interesting. Yes. Verbal and nonverbal. So you said, yes, it analyzes that. I mean, okay, first, before I go to some more question about sales, how does it work? I mean, how do you employ NovaC to your system?
So NovaC is a one-click integration. It's a very easy installation. What you need is just to connect your calendar, and that's it. We already connected into Zoom, Meet, WebEx, and Teams. When you're joining a meeting, the NovaC bot just jump with you as another participant. Of course, this call has been recorded, and then we're starting to analyze everything. And by the end of the call, you're getting a full analysis of the conversation itself. The voice, the text, and the body language parts, everything combined into actionable insights that giving you the direction or to helping you to navigate the opportunity in the best way possible by understanding every participant motivation. So this is how it works.
Interesting. That's why I said like, okay, meet your sales coach, note taker, pipeline manager, equal NovaC.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Exactly right.
So yeah, we'd love to know. Okay. You said in the previous call, like when everything was still broken, no authentication, no authorization, not ready for users yet, you looked for a design partner. So how was that experience?
I think that this is, you know, exciting. When you're starting this motion, when we're starting something new and you try to figure out how to solve a bigger problem than yourself, this is exciting. Of course, it's confusing. It's super hard. People are just saying like, I don't have time for this. I don't want to, to deal with it right now. And for a lot of people, it's not the first priority. They're just saying like, okay, my biggest priority right now is to close more deals because I have problems with, I don't know, the financial crisis, the COVID. You know, for every time we have the specific topics that takes the highest priority. And when we came with NovaC, we didn't understand immediately that we're going to increase your closing ratio. So we just said, we're going to help you understand if people are liking what you said or no. And then to say like, oh, it doesn't concern me at all. So it was super hard to find the design partners at the beginning. But as soon as we got them and we started working with them, we understood that we get something super interesting. Because as soon as we said, like, we're pulling the plug right now, we want to start monetize NovaC and we want to start working with our paying customers. They said, like, immediately, like, stop. We're going to pay. And then we said,
oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was. Yeah. So this is when you struck gold. And and we're just starting running from there. And it was super, like, exciting and emotional, you know, because this is your baby. This is something that you're building. You quit everything to do this. I quit like a very comfortable life in an enterprise company. You know, I remember a conversation with my wife. We like lying on our bed, watching TV, and she just, you know, shifting her head towards me. And she said, like, I love my life the way there is right now. This is the only sentence she said. And like, I'm looking at him and I said, I'm sorry.
It's going to change soon.
It's going to change. And, you know, for like nine months, nobody got salaries. We just bootstrap everything. We wanted to make sure that this stuff is real and we can build something, and the POC and the getting the design partners, and just to start this engine is taking so long, but it's, you know, eventually it's going to be fruitful. And right now we're picking the berries. Yeah.
Well, I'm interested. Okay. How many months before you were able to generate income from this baby?
I think the first buck that we got was after like 13 months, something like this.
Wow, I hear.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you post it? Well, I did not see it on LinkedIn. I was like, okay. Okay. But how did you help this first ever user to achieve results?
I think that I'm hearing this a lot. I think it started with Airbnb. In the first period of your entrepreneurship journey, what you need to do is things that will never scale. And what we really help them is by being with them all the time, to holding their hands and understanding their pain points and understanding their journey and understanding their processes. And when we did this, we actually started to see like, okay, we can solve this. We can solve this. Let's try to do this to solve this. And now it's starting to craft like very unique value proposition for this specific customer. So for the first one, it was pretty much tailored. Later on, we just found the bigger problems. And when we're hearing things over and over again, for us, it's the cue that, okay, this is the direction we should take. Because I don't know, like we talked with 30 customers to say the same exact pain point. Let's start understanding how we can solve this. So we're having a lot of customers interviews to understand how we should solve it. But it's not like everything, you know, just snap of fingers and we have a solution. It's a validation process. You need to understand if, okay, this is a solution. Is it the best solution for this problem? Maybe they just, you know, thinking about something else to support this journey. And this is, again, this is the process. And at the beginning, again, it was like very tailored. Later on, we're looking on everyone and finding the biggest problem that we can solve.
Right. Fine-tuning the solution. Okay, wow. We are excited. After how many months or years, what are the makers and the breakers? What have you found out about salespeople or?
It's a great question. For me, it was always divided into two major issues. First is the person itself. I think that salespeople always want to sell. Okay. Buyers want to buy, but they don't want to buy. They want to solve a problem. If you as a sales rep going to solve the problems, you're probably going to be connected to your customers in a better way than if you try to sell them. And the problem is everyone is trying to push. I have quota. I need to achieve my numbers. I need to close this deal to actually, I don't know, get my bonus, not being fired, a lot of stuff that's happening right now, you know, in sales organizations. And I'm living it for the past like 12 years. And you can see it even in peep calls. Peep calls, it's like the performance conversations when you're having before you're firing someone. When you're having this conversation, what the manager is going to say, it's not going to say like something like, listen, you really need to get a better approach into pricing or into competition. Or it's going to be, I need more leads, more demos, more. They're talking about funnel. And this velocity is the stuff that making salespeople want to sell and not to solve problems. So the first huge problem is the seller themselves coming with an unproductive approach of, I'm going to stick it. I'm going to push it. And this is blowing everything because the buyer don't want you to buy. They want to solve the problem. So this is the biggest issue. You can see it in the urgency of the seller that always just, you know, babbling and sending tons of emails and calling and calling again. It's the worst way possible to close the deal. And this is first. Second, you can see on the reactions on the call themselves, you can see the edginess, like, okay, when he's going to stop talking, I want to understand. Okay. So this stuff is crucial. It's not about, you know, Let's try to put it in one sentence. Okay. People will never buy from you because they understand you. Okay. People would just buy from you because you understand them. And this is the one liner, I think, that will make or break specific deal. So this is the first huge problem in the sales space today. And I think the second is the process. Okay. Sales, a lot of people are talking about the science and the art. Okay. You need the art. You need to work on a relationship building abilities, and you need to blah, 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 blah. And the process, you know, the science. Yeah. You need to do like 6 touches before, and you need to do this. Yeah. And you need the art of sales. It's not the relationship building or the process following. It's actually the combination of the two. What you actually need to do is to be very process oriented, because eventually the buyer is going to buy something like what you're proposing, let's say once or twice or 3 times in a lifetime. Let's say you're buying a CRM platform. You're probably going to buy 1, 2, 3 CRMs for your entire, I don't know, like for the whole span of your career. But the seller sold thousands of these, you know, opportunities. And now if I were in 1,000 opportunities just like this one, I know what my buyers actually need. I know what the problems are. I know what question to ask to lead my buyer in the best journey, you know, to the yellow bricks road. So if I want to do this, I need to ask questions. I need to be kind. I need to understand the problems of my customer, but I need to do it in a process that can reveal everything that I need to know to understand if this call or this client is actually qualified or unqualified. And I think this is the, again, one liner at the end. Okay. We shouldn't like run after qualification. We should run after disqualification of every customer that you're meeting. Okay. When we're talking with a customer, I need to understand why you shouldn't supposed to be my customer, because these are the stuff that's going to make them hit my guts and going to drop me and going to talk dirty things about me and just spread the word that I'm center. I'm not a trusted advisor. I'm not here to help them. I'm here to push them. So I think that this is the two like biggest problems in sales today and the makers or breakers. We need to be aware. We need to ask the questions. We need to be involved. We need to build real relationship, real rapport, and we need to do it in a process that actually can give us all the information needed to solve the problem.
Wow, that's big. I mean, first I got buyers buy because they don't understand you, because you understand them. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Absolutely.
Well, I was just blown away. And then can you give us or share with us a story of the second one you said? You said something about, okay, tell me why you won't buy from me, something like that. Can you give us like a sample conversation here?
So if we're going for disqualification, okay, one of the first questions that I'm asking is, Novacy, again, we record calls, we analyze calls, we analyze the people, okay? When we're in this process, I'm always asking, do you use any other call recorder? Let us say yes. And said, okay, so why are we here? Why are we having this call? Let's say I'm not satisfied with the tool I have. I heard about your solution. This is very interesting for me. Body language is super exciting, whatever. Saying, yes, but let's try to dive in, because if you want to change something, it's going to be hurt. It's going to be hurtful. It's not going to be like a easy peasy. Again, we are one-click integration. This is easy peasy, but you want to drop something. You need to train your organization about it. You're going to go through a change. So why do you want to make this change? And then I'm asking, this is transactional? This is for insurance reasons? Or this is transformational? And then they're going to say something like, this is transformational, because everyone wants to believe that they're doing something big. And I'm saying, do you think you're ready for a transformational approach? So it's always going to be like me asking the question, the hard question. And I want to get the no, because if you don't get a no, okay, you're probably not got a yes. You're going to get like a maybe. And this is the worst place to be as a sales rep, because you got to spend the time on unqualified leads, unqualified, you know, customers, and they maybe gonna buy. And if they're gonna buy, it's gonna be amazing for a second, and then it's gonna be a disaster, because this is not the right product for them. They're not ready for the process. They're not ready for the implementation, and it's gonna hurt you. So why spending the time on the wrong customers?
Amazing. Oh, that's why you said coaching 10.0. It's like unpacking or, you know, like digging in, dive deep into the problem.
So the coaching part of Novacy is actually a different part. It's another solution that we're giving. Coaching is actually monitoring the process. So as you said, yes, this is the coaching, but we're monitoring the whole process. We're finding holes and poking holes, we should say, in the process of each rep, and then saying, listen, great job on closing the next steps or closing the next goal. Okay, next time, try to go for a commitment. Or next time, talk about budget. You never spoke about budget. So we're actually giving them coaching pieces after each and every call that they're having to push them towards success. And later on, what we're doing is actually telling the managers, listen, after analyzing all your reps, we're finding that X has a problem with 1-3. The reps that are doing it exceptionally well, it's 4, 5, 6. Let's share the information between those. Let's solve these problems. Let's solve this by training and just gaining a better results and not getting into the, you know, last minute that we need to fire people. We need to, you know, invest the right time, the right effort in the right problems with our reps. So this is what we're going for. And this is, you know, the full package of Novacy.
Wow. Yes. I mean, I can relate to that because, you know, sometimes you don't know how to start, by the way. Okay. Just a quick tip from all the business calls that Novacy have assessed. So what is the best way to start a cold sales call?
It's a good one. So if you're talking about a cold call, or you're talking about like cold the first call. Meeting. And so for cold calling, it's important to share that we're doing body language. Yeah, this is our core. And now we're talking about cold call, but no problem, being in sales for the past 12 years. So I can handle this one. So when we pushing through a cold call, first we need to make like a prep. I need to check what are the specifics that make this account relevant for me. If it's one of our ICP, like ideal customer profile, it's something actually changed that required me to have this conversation. And if I'm calling this prospect, I'm going to say like, this is the first time we're talking. I know that you're probably not recognizing my name, but if it's a good time to talk, I would love to explain like in 2 minutes why I called you. And then I'm going to share the three specific pains, okay, that Novacy or the product that I'm selling is actually solving the best. And then if one of them is actually the specific pain point, they're going to share it because, yes, I want to solve this, okay? And now we're going to have a fruitful conversation about, in a very short way, yeah, on what we're doing. Okay, this is what we're doing. This is how we're solving this issue. Would it be like, would you totally going to be opposed to have a conversation about it and actually expand how we can solve this? And then usually you're just booking another call and just having this. It's always have to be like short and sweet. If it's like, you're talking about yourself, if you're talking about your solution, if you're talking about me, this is a problem. This is, nobody wants to listen to this. Okay, cold call is not dead. Okay, it's important to say. Cold call is one of the most unique ways to approach people today because outreach is taking a huge hit. And if you're trying to automate stuff and if you're trying to, you know, reach people through LinkedIn, it's super tough today because everyone is doing this. Cold calling, people saying it's dead. I'm getting the most attention because I'm right now talking with my ICP. And if this is my ICP and they have a real problem and I have a real solution, this is what we're here to do. We're here to solve problems. Coming back to what we said before. So if we're doing this, it's going to be a magic moment of actually booking the next call. And let's talk about it in the next call.
Ooh, I learned a lot. You know, I'm gonna implement that to my next cold calls. But okay, you said for cold calls. But now for like this with videos. And I just wonder, like we all, especially from other culture or other countries, right?
Yep.
Maybe it's a bit different. I mean, the way they express themselves, right? So how do you go about it? Is that a challenge?
It is a challenge. It's not my challenge because we decided not to go for it. But the only thing that is different between different cultures is the gestures. Okay, so we know this, we know this. We know a lot of gestures that are actually very specific for a specific culture. And this is okay. And this is cool. And I think that if someone will one day gonna see through it and actually understand it, it will be beautiful. The only problem is I don't want to make the wrong assumptions on a person just because he made something that looked like a specific gesture. Okay. If you like want to stretch your neck, so you're doing this, and now I'm getting, like you said, yes, and I'm classifying you as someone from India. This is not the case. This is not what we want to do. This is not something that we want to go for. I want to understand if I have, you know, active listening. If people are actually talking with me, are they with me? Okay. If I'm saying something, I get the nodding, I get the smiles, I get the understanding, I get the leaning into the computer, I get the sludging, what I'm getting. So when we're analyzing the active listening, when we're analyzing the facial expression, which, by the way, there are seven universal emotions that are expressed by facial expressions. Okay. So if you're using this stuff, they're called action units. Okay. It's actually the combination between different parts of your face. When your eyebrows goes up and your jaw drops down, you're surprised. And it doesn't matter from where you are. This is the same things. This is coming from long, long ago when we actually met some, let's say, specific event that caused us, okay, to be surprised. What we did is open our eyes bigger because we want to be prepared. And we're taking a huge breath, like, okay, this is a surprise. This is like a fight or flight motion getting into place. This is a surprise. Now it's more domestic. So we can find it in different places, but it's universal. Okay, so smile, happiness, you know, the anger, the disgust, the fear, all this are places that everyone feels very attached to. And this is why when babies smile, we understand they're happy. We never taught baby how to smile, but they smile, they cry, okay, they sad, they happy, they angry. This stuff is actually birth, like from birth. And even if you're looking on blind people, they're doing the same things, okay? So this is the universal way of thinking. And after this, you have like a second layer of gestures that we are staying away from. So this is how we not getting inside of all the noise of different cultures. What we're doing, but to actually monitor the best way possible, we're basing the baseline for each participant in the call, measuring it against himself, which means that probably there are cultures that join like at different levels of happiness. You can see that I'm jumpy. I'm happy. I'm jumpy. I'm friendly. Okay. I'm an Israeli, but if you're looking on different people, okay, they can be like colder or more collected. Okay. And their happiness and my happiness is going to look like it's different. But it's not different in the happiness. It's different on the levels of, on the specific like metrics. When you can see like my happiness is 80, okay? And X person, happiness is 30. But if I'm measuring this as a baseline, everything, you know, above 30 is happy. Everything below it is not. And this is how we're actually measuring every participant in the call to actually make sure that we're hitting the target.
I love that. And I can relate to like, okay, my Indian teammates are like going like this and meetings. And then I was like, no, it's yes. Okay. Okay. So in the Philippines, yes, it's like this.
Yes.
So it's, yeah, but okay. I love it. And I'm interested, like right now, are you still having problems with selling? Because you guys are sales expert.
It's a great question again, but, you know, from time to time, there is not a fit. It's not a problem if it's not yours. I can't sell for someone that don't want to buy. Okay, I can push, but I'm not this person. So the issue is not about if you're closing deals. It's about if you're not closing the right deals. Okay, so this is the specific places when you really need to be super focused and be super, you know, creative and find specific stuff that can help you push towards the noise and push through the noise, sorry, and actually make the deal happen by just, you know, be flexible and understand the other side and understand the problems and find the right solution for it. I always saying, like, even if a seller will do 100% of everything right, they will never close 100% of the deals, okay? And it's absolutely fine, because not everything is about you. What you need to be is an A player that's pushing through everything in the right motion. You have the process in place. You really are enthusiastic about your customer and really care for them and want to help them solve a problem. And if you do this, you're going to be successful. It's not about the 100% closing ratio. It's about the 100% person. And if you be there, you're okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. I hope a lot of salespeople will listen to this. And not only salespeople, but also, I mean, on the leadership roles, like not just hitting, okay, give me 10 leads or something like that.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, it's about the right fit. So where are you in your journey right now?
So right now, we're having fun. We already found the product market fit. We're expanding. We're growing.
Congrats.
Thank you. We're building our team in multi-states. Started in Israel. Now getting the first people in the U.S. Things are getting bigger. It's getting more exciting over time. I think that before we started, I told my wife again. I told him like, listen, right now it's going to be like hell going loose, but afterward, it's going to be better. It's going to be better because, you know, I'm going to get used to it. I'm going to understand everything. And everything is getting tougher and tougher by the second. And you just have different problems or different issues or different, you know, like challenges. But this is what's so amazing about being an entrepreneur is that you can solve problems or you can deal with stuff that you never dealt with before. And this is a beautiful thing to have because you always want to be intrigued. You always want to be passionate about stuff that you're doing. And if you're just doing the same stuff over and over again, you just get bored. And then you're finding another job. And then you enroll for like 2 years. And then you find another job. And this is not the life that you want to build. At least this is not the life that I want to build for myself. But that's it. Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow, big congratulations. I'm just curious, like before, I mean, you were like lying down in the bed and then you're telling your wife, okay, that's not going to... I mean, this life is going to end soon. Everything will change. Right now, you have customers. Did you promise, okay, I'm going to be the next unicorn? Or what's your wife's reaction right now?
So my wife is not the one you're looking for money. She just, you know, dressed with robes and just nothing, nothing really in this. She's a dance teacher. She's living her life, a full life. And she just loves everything about everyone. She's a flower girl. So for her, it's not about me getting a lot of money or crushing quotas or closing more deals. It's about me, you know, really pushing towards, you know, the successful me, how I want to build my life, what I want to achieve. And if she's saying that I have a full life, this is a dream come true. And this is what we both are looking for. And this is my way. And
wow.
This is her way. But we're together in this.
Oh, I love it. I mean, you have to, I mean, you're lucky to have a wife like that, like who dances
Absolutely.
With you, right? Because I hear a lot of entrepreneurs say, oh, I spend more time with my work wife, which is your co-founder, rather than my real wife.
I can say this as well. But me and my wife are high school sweethearts. We've been together since the age of 18. And in Israel, we have the military. Everyone is joining the military in the age of 18. And I didn't see her for like 60 days at a time. Like it's 60 days, then we sing for like 3 days and then another like 40, 24, 40, 60 days again. And you know, you're getting built. Like you understand then that when you have your time, you're going to make it as impactful as possible and you're going to be together. And when you don't have the time, you're going to make your life as impactful as possible. But it's about keeping everything whole. This is super hard. And this is, I think, the hardest thing about being an entrepreneur is to have the balance. I can't say that it's, you know, perfected.
Is there balance?
In my place. So I can't say that I perfected the method right now. Yeah, I'm still learning. But yeah, you should push for it. This is the stuff that you should push for, not the deals. This is the stuff you should push for.
Okay, before you invite them to try Novacy, okay, can you give me like, what is your like one golden advice or one important advice for those who are also at exact same as yours?
Golden advice.
Oh, that's a big sigh.
Golden advice. Yeah, I need to prepare for a golden advice. Now, if we're talking about entrepreneurs in general, I just say never make assumptions. Always ask the right questions. Be hungry for knowledge and just always make that the research matter. Cause if you just, you know, go for the hunch, it can work sometimes, but you're just hearing about all the successful people and the standing ovations and the CEO that is pressing the buzzer and it looks amazing. But this is one out of a lot. So if we just looking on this, we need to make every second matter. And for me, it's customer interviews. It's talking with my customers, potential customers, people in LinkedIn. I reach out to people and I'm saying, hey, I want to learn. Let's have a conversation. From time to time, we think this is the most impactful thing that you can do for your business. And just ask the right question. Always play dumb. Never be the smart guy in the room, because this is not the time to do so if you're just beginning. And this will just do magic for your startup, because if you play dumb, people will give you answers. And this is what you need. This is what you're looking for. You're not looking for more questions or more conversations, fruitful conversation. No, looking for answers, looking for zeros and ones, looking for, this is my problem. You need to ask a stupid conversation, a stupid question, to get a very direct answer. If you ask something complicated, you get a complicated answer and you don't want it. You want it straightforward.
Wow. Invite them to your podcast, The Secret Sauce, and also invite them to get this behavioral intelligence platform over.
Absolutely. So we would love to have you with us and watching The Secret Sauce of Selling. This is a podcast that we're doing with James Habram, CEO of Sandler, Israel, and we're doing it together for a while now, getting amazing people to interview over there. So you can watch it and learn and enjoy. And if you're interested in, you know, pushing the game forward and actually getting a better result in your sales teams, just, you know, you can pick up the phone as we talked before, but you can shoot me a message on LinkedIn, Ol Biederman, as you hear it. And I will help, would be happy to help you and just show you how we're doing it and just learn more about your business and see if we have a fit.
Oh, amazing. It was such a pleasure to have you, Or. Thank you for hopping on the I Am podcast.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. And I'll see you soon.
This podcast is powered by IAMOps.io. Optimize your cloud infrastructure and CI/CD process with IAMOps.io dedicated DevOps team. Check out www.IAMOps.io and get a DevOps team now. Make sure to check out www.IAMOps.io if you want to know more about us. Subscribe to our podcast so you can get notified every time we post a new video. Thank you, and you have a great day.